Let's begin by offering a word of prayer. Eternal Father in heaven, Yahweh Almighty, we come before you at this time to worship and praise your name. Father, you have invited us to be here in your presence, and we have accepted the call. Our heart's desire is to understand your will by opening your word, reading it, and then seeking to apply it in our lives. Help us, Father, as we try to do this. As we try to live by the light of your word. And as we seek to shine this light around us in a world of darkness. Father, be with us. Open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to understand and to receive your word of life. We thank you, Father, for all things. Through Yahshua, our Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah. Okay, let's be seated. Brethren, I think that the message that we are going to consider today is one that is very important in our walk as believers. It is one that will apply not only today as we are hearing these words, but throughout our lives to the very end. The message today is titled, Be a Willing Servant. Be a Willing Servant. We want to look at this a little more today, because what we find, not only within the faith, but in general, is that people don't want to serve. We want to look at the word serve, service, servant. All of them are related words. People in general don't want to serve. People want to be served. This is not the attitude that we should have, brethren, as believers. We have the greatest example of what it means to be a servant in Yahshua, the Messiah. Yahshua, first and foremost, was a servant to his father as a faithful son. But Yahshua also came to serve men. Although he was the master, he is the master, yet he showed us what it meant to serve. And to serve willingly. Right? And I say willingly because we might serve, but we might serve reluctantly. Like we've been pushed to do it or we've been forced to do it. And brethren, if that is all we are serving, then we are not genuine servants. We have to become willing servants. Willing servants. Nobody needs to push us. Nobody needs to tell us, do this, do that. But our eyes and our ears should be in tune with what is going on around us. Right? To see and to observe that something needs to be done. And we, if we feel that we can do something about it, then we act on it. Be a willing servant. What does it mean to be a servant? First of all, we want to look at the definition of the word from a biblical perspective and also from a general perspective, a worldly perspective. Servant. The word in the Hebrew is ebed. E-B-E-D. Ebed. This is the root word of serve, so serving, to serve. And it means to work, to serve, to be a servant or a bondman or a laborer. To work, to serve, to be a servant, a bondman, a laborer. We have here a Webster's Dictionary, very popular dictionary. And in the Webster's Dictionary, the definition of the word servant is as follows. One that serves others. And right there, we see a very important aspect of service. It is not to serve ourselves, but it is to serve others. Right there, I think we could stop. Service, true service, involves not serving ourselves, but serving others. And that, I think, is the most important lesson that Yahshua gave us while he was here. Serving others before ourselves. A person employed for domestic or personal work. The verb serve, to work as a servant, to render obedience and worship to Yahweh. They don't have Yahweh here, of course. Right? We just replace him. But look at that. This is a dictionary definition, and it says to render obedience and worship to Yahweh. That is service. So, as you were saying in the prayer earlier, why are we here today? We are here because we understand that Yahweh made all things, the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. And we are a part of that. So it means, therefore, that we are his servants. And if we are his servants, according to this definition, then we have to be obedient to him. And so we have to worship him on the day that he says to worship him. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It also says to comply or to agree with the commands or demands of. So Yahweh instructs us to do certain things. We are his servants. We say, yes, Father. We will do what you have said. To work through or perform a term of service. But I like this one. Verse 6. Yeah, I'm sorry. Definition 6. To be of use. To be of use. That is interesting. To be of use. It means we are useful. We have a purpose. And as we look at this subject of serving or being a servant, we should all see ourselves as being members of the body. Remember, we had looked at that, where we looked at each one of us are members of a bigger body. There's one body, but many members. And all the members or the body parts are servants. Right? They serve the overall purpose, which is keeping the body functioning. So it means that they all have a use. They all have a purpose. So Yahweh didn't create a body part just because he wanted to put something there. Everything has a purpose. Even the skin. The skin, we might look at it and say, well, what is the purpose of that? It's very important. Right? It is the... It keeps the temperature, the body temperature regulated. When it is cold or when it is hot, the skin would either open up, the pores would either open up or close to allow heat to go out or to come in, right? We sweat, etc., etc. Every part of the body is a servant serving in the greater purpose. So, brethren, we are all servants of Yahweh. We should be. And we ought to have some purpose within the body, right? Some people may say, well, I don't know what is my purpose in the body because I'm not an elder. No. So because you're not an elder, you have no purpose? No. not according to the scriptures. Everybody has a purpose. Right? We must find out what is our purpose. At the Feast of Tabernacles last year, we looked at a subject, discovering your talent. Right? We had looked at that. That everybody has a talent. You may not have found it as yet, but everybody has something that they could contribute, that they could do. We just have to find it. Right? So, we are all servants. We all have a use. And we all have to faithfully obey or agree with the commandments of the one that made us, the Creator. Even in the worldly society, brethren, they have elections. And we elect officials, right? Members of parliament, whatever we want to call them. And a certain authority and responsibility is given to them. But what do we refer to them? We, the people, vote for them. They are elected. And then they are given responsibility and authority to carry out these functions. But are they there to serve themselves? What do we refer to them as? Public servants. Not so? We call them public servants. They are there to serve the needs and the interests of the public, of the citizens, not themselves. But many times that is what they do. Many times they serve themselves. And this is not what they are there to do. They serve the needs of the people, of the citizens. They are servants of the people. But today in society, brethren, people have become very selfish. They want to be served. They want to receive honor. They want to receive respect. But they don't want to humble themselves and serve others. What direction are we going to follow? Are we going to be people who are filled with pride and ego, who want others to serve us, but we are not willing to serve others? Look at Yahshua. Right? And as we go through these passages today, we'll see it very clearly that Yahshua could brag more than anybody else because he was the son of the living Elohim. As a matter of fact, through the scriptures, we see that it is Yahshua, through him, all things were created. This is what the apostles taught. Right? That Yahweh, the Father, through the Son, created all things. He gave that authority to the Son. And yet Yahshua came and he humbled himself to the lowest of lowest. And yet many people don't want to do this. Who are we following? Who are we following? Yahshua taught, he that humbles himself shall be exalted, but he that exalts himself shall be humbled. Right? Yahshua taught it was better to give than to receive. He taught that. And Paul followed in his footsteps and he taught the same. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Give of yourself to others and don't just want to receive. There is a greater blessing in giving. Serving is an act of giving. Right? We may not have money to give somebody, but we may be able to give something else. We may be able to give them encouragement, right? Direction, advice. Something else that is more meaningful than money, that we'll spend it and that's the end of that. We could give love, something. All these things are a form of service to our fellow men. And we could do these things, brethren. Let's turn to the book of John. John chapter 13. John 13, and we'll be reading from verse 3 to 7. That is John 13, verses 3 to 7. We look at this passage every year when we observe the Passover. As Yahshua, the Master, gave his disciples on that night a very, very clear example of what it means to be a servant. A servant doesn't take a towel and water in a basin and stoop down and wash. A master, does not do these things. He doesn't take a towel and a basin with water and stoop down and wash his servant's feet. The servants will do that to him. But yet Yahshua did this. John 13 verse 3. So Yahshua, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he came from Elohim and was going to Elohim, got up from the evening meal and laid aside his outer garments. And taking a towel, he wrapped it around his waist. After that, he put water into a basin and started to wash the feet of the disciples and to dry them off with the towel that was wrapped around him. Then he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Master, are you washing my feet?" Yahshua answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand after these things." Peter said to him, "You will certainly never wash my feet." Yahshua answered him, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Let's drop down to verse 12. When now he had washed their feet and had put his outer garments on, he again reclined at the table and said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and you are correct, for I am such." So Yahshua didn't deny that he was in the exalted position of being the master and the teacher, the rabbi. But he's trying to teach them a lesson. He says, "Therefore, if I, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you also should wash the feet of one another. For I set the pattern for you." I have given you an example or a pattern that just as I did to you, you should also do. "Most truly I say to you, a slave or a servant is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him." So Yahweh sent his son into the world. Who is greater, the father or the son? The father. According to Yahshua's words, the one who was sent is not greater than the one who sent him. Verse 17, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." So Yahshua gave his disciples a lesson on that night for them to follow, a lesson, a life lesson, we could say. And that is one of the lessons that we also today need to learn, brethren. If we don't learn this lesson, I believe that this could hinder us from obtaining salvation. I believe that it is a salvational issue. Humility is a lesson that we must learn if we are to finally be approved to enter Yahweh's kingdom. So brethren, I don't want us, and whoever is, you know, hearing this message, I don't want us to take this lightly. Being a servant is not a light thing. We may see it as being, you know, well, a low position. But we have to learn to be a servant first before we could be put in an honorable position. That is the lesson. That is the lesson. If we cannot be a servant, if we cannot start at the low level, then we cannot get to the top. That is why Yahshua said, he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Right? As a little child. If you don't humble yourself as a little child, you will not enter in the kingdom. That's what Yahshua said. And so we can't take these words lightly. They are a lesson for us to learn for our life, brethren. A life lesson. Let's turn to the book of Luke as we continue in this subject of being a servant, a willing servant. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. And we want to begin in verse 24. Luke 22, verse 24. Reading to verse 30. This is, of course, the night, again, the Passover night. And Yahshua is speaking about the fact that one of them is going to betray him. So Yahshua is discussing the fact that one of the disciples is going to betray him. So they wondering, well, which one of them it is amongst themselves? Which one of us it is going to do this? They're not sure because he didn't say the name. So in verse 24, while all this is going on, all this drama is going on here, another discussion rise up. And that is, which one of them is the greatest? Verse 24 of Luke 22. However, there also arose a heated dispute among them over which one of them was the greatest. Imagine that is what they're thinking about. Yahshua is telling them, one of you is going to betray me. But they're thinking, which one of us is the greatest? But he said to them, the kings of the nations dominate over them. And those having authority over them are called benefactors or beneficiaries. You, though, are not to be like that. But let the one who is the greatest among you, the master in other words, become as the youngest. And the one taking the lead, the leader, right? The leader, as the one ministering or as the one serving. For which one is greater? The one dining or the one serving? Who's greater? The one sitting down and servants coming and bringing food? Or the one who walking around and giving whatever you need? Which one is greater? No, the one who's greater is the one who's sitting down and being served. He's the greater one. Right? But Yahshua is teaching, although you're in that position, be like the server, the one who's walking around and serving, right? As he said in John, although I am the master and the teacher, look at what I am doing to you. You should be doing this to me, but I am doing this to you. See? So he says, so which one is greater, the one dining or the one serving? Is it not the one dining? Of course. But I am among you as the one serving. That's what he said. I am among you as the one serving. I should be the one being served, but look, I am serving you. So again, Yahshua is giving them an example that even if we are put in positions of leadership or a position of honor, it is not a reason for us to exalt ourselves. You see? Yes, we have authority. Yes, we have responsibility. But it does not mean that we have to lift up ourselves above others. Right? Just like the public servants, many of them, when they get into office, when they want to get into office, they say all the right things. They promise you the world. And when they get into office, now you see the attitude change. Now you can't even get to meet them. They get big because they forget what they were put there to do. They are public servants, and they will be held accountable for what they have done. They will be held accountable for what they have done. Let's turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1. Philippians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1. Philippians 2 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul here is bringing out, I believe, the same lesson that Joshua sought to teach his disciples. Philippians 2 verse 1. If then there is any encouragement in Messiah, if any consolation of love, if any spiritual fellowship, if any tender affection and compassion, make my joy full by being of the same mind and having the same love, being completely united, having the one thought in mind. Do nothing out of contentiousness or out of egotism. See? So like the disciples on that night, they were contending. Which one of us is the greatest? They had pride. Well, I am the greatest. Or no, this is why I am the greatest. No, I am the greatest for this reason. No. Paul says, do nothing out of contentiousness, strife, or egotism, pride. But with humility or with lowliness of mind, consider others superior to you. As you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. That brings to mind what the scripture says. You shall love your neighbor like yourself. So whatever you would like for yourself, consider the same for your neighbor. And this is how we should treat our neighbor. Like if we're treating ourselves. He says, keep this mental attitude in you. That was also, look at what he says. Eh? We should have this attitude that was in the Messiah. Keep this mental attitude in you that was also in Messiah Yahshua. Who, although he was existing in the form of Elohim, in the spiritual nature, he gave no consideration to this. Namely, that he should be equal to Elohim. Yahshua was not filled with pride and ambition that he was equal to Elohim or very close to him. And so, well, I could be just like Elohim or greater. However, the evil one, he allowed these evil thoughts to enter into his heart. He saw that he was close to Elohim, and he felt, well, I could be greater than Elohim. And so he tried to overthrow. Yahshua was different. The Son was faithful. No, verse 7, but he emptied himself and took a slave's form or a servant's form and became human. So this is what Yahshua did. Yahshua gave up his spiritual nature and allowed himself to come into the form of a human being. If that is not humility, brethren, what is? Why would a spirit being want to, with all that power and glory, want to come in the form of a weak, flawed human being? Because he knew he had a purpose. And the only way he could fulfill that purpose was to come in that form. More than that, when he came as a man, he humbled himself. Again, humility. Humility in being a servant. And became obedient to the point of death. Yahshua was obedient to the point of death. Because Yahweh told him, listen, in order for the work of the adversary to be overturned, you have to go and fulfill this role. And this is how you have to do it. And he said, okay. It wasn't easy, but he did it. And Yahshua said the same thing in Revelation. He said, be faithful to death, and I will give you the crown of life. The same thing he was promised, he promises us. Be faithful to death, and I will give you the crown of life. And Paul says he was obedient even to the point of death. Yes, death on the tortia stake. And for this very reason, remember, whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. So Paul is saying, because he humbled himself like this, Elohim exalted him to a superior position and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that in the name of Yahshua, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should openly acknowledge that Yahshua Messiah is sovereign or master to the glory of Yahweh the Father. Are we understanding what the Apostle Paul is saying? He's telling us to be like Yahshua. Just like Yahshua told his disciples to follow his lead and his example, Paul is pointing us in that direction also. And he's telling us, follow the example of Yahshua. If we want to attain to the prize. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start in verse 5. Ephesians 6 and verse 5. Ephesians 6 and verse 5. Here Paul brings out the subject a little more of what it means to be a servant or even a slave. Now, of course, there could be hired servants. There could be servants who are not hired, but they are put under subjection, no pay. Servants, be obedient to your masters or your human masters. Your masters according to the flesh. Right? So this is speaking about your work, you know, your human employers then. Right? So you're working for somebody, that person is like your master. Right? We don't use those terms today anymore. Master and servant. We use employer and employee. And to us it might sound a little more dignified. You know, we might feel, well, servant. Sounding like a slave. No, it's not so. The scripture has never had that word. Master, servant. Today's employer, employee. So you are hired to do our work. And that person could give you instructions. They could tell you, do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. And they're paying you to do it. And it is your responsibility to do it. And if you don't want to do it, well, leave. We'll find somebody else to do it. So it is a master-servant arrangement. An employer employee. But look at what Paul is saying. How we should do it. He says, servants, be obedient to your human masters with fear and trembling, in sincerity of your heart, as to the Messiah, not only when being watched, right? So look at what it's saying, and I mean, we work and we could identify with this. Some people, they only work when the bosses are wrong, right? When the bosses are wrong, you're on your best behavior and you're working diligently. When the boss not there, we slack off and we start to lie down and we sleep in and we, you know, we start to slack off, idle. When we hear the boss coming, we jump back into action. Paul is saying, no. He says, remember, although you're serving a human boss, you have a boss above who is keeping watch at all times. He says so. Not only when being watched, just to please men. See? But as the Messiah's slave, doing the will of Yahweh from the heart. So you're not doing what you're doing just to please somebody or to get ranks. No. You're doing it because you understand that you are serving a higher power who has you under watch at all times. And so although you're working for a worldly, a human employer, you understand that you are a servant of a greater master. And so you carry out your duty with that understanding in mind. That you're not serving the human being alone, no? You're serving the Most High. You see? And if we do what we do with that attitude, even the human master will have to acknowledge us. He will respect us. Because of how we do what we do, he will realize, well, that person is a different person, no? You understand? Because the qualities will show. Right? So that is what Paul is saying. Remember that you are serving Yahweh Most High. Not just the human being. He says, serve with a good attitude as to Yahweh and not to men. For you know that whatever good each one does, he will receive this back from Yahweh. Whether he is a servant or a free man. And then Paul also gives a little message to the masters or the employees. He says, also you masters, keep treating them in the same way, not threatening. For you know that both their master and yours is in the heavens. And there is no partiality. There is no respect of persons with him. So he's speaking both to the servant and the master, both the employer and the employee. The message to the servant is serve from the heart because you're serving a higher power ultimately. And the message to the master or the employer is to treat your workers well. Don't ill-treat them. Don't take advantage of them because you, although you are a master and an employer, you have a master above too, and he will hold you accountable. You see? So both parties have to play their roles properly in order for things to go well. This is the problem with the world today. We don't need unions, brethren. We don't need unions. But the reason why we have unions is because the employers are not fulfilling their duty to the workers properly. And then also, on the worker's side, there's also flaws and faults sometimes. That is why there's an industrial court. The industrial court is there for these matters. Not only, sometimes the industrial court will not rule in favor of the worker. Sometimes the industrial court will rule in favor of the employer because the worker was at fault. But then there are times the industrial court will rule in favor of the worker because he was taken advantage of by the employer. And were it not for the industrial court, there would be nobody to stand up for the worker. See? So this is why we need these things in this system in which we live. But if men were following Yahweh's word, wouldn't need that. The employers would understand you have to treat your workers fairly, and the workers would understand, look, I have a duty, let me do my job. See? Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, we start from verse 15. Romans 6 and verse 15. Here Paul is dealing with the subject of being a servant, but from a different direction. He's now talking about either being a servant of sin, disobedience, or being a servant of obedience or righteousness. And he's making the point that anybody that we subject ourselves to, that person becomes our master. The one who is controlling us now. And this is something we also need to understand. If we obey Yahweh's word, then we are servants of Yahweh. But if we sin against Yahweh, then are we following Yahweh? We are now serving the adversary. Eh? And that is the reason why Yahshua said, no man can serve two masters. Didn't Yahshua say that? That no man could serve two masters? Eh? Didn't Yahshua teach that? No man could serve two masters. Either you serve one, you have to break off from the next. Or you serve the other one and you break off from the next. You can't be totally loyal to two masters at the same time. Paul is dealing with that subject here. As we look at this subject of service, he says you cannot serve the two at the same time. So which one are you? Which one are you? Romans 6 and verse 15. He says, are we to commit a sin because we are not under law, but under grace, or under undeserved kindness? Certainly not. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient servants, you are slaves of the one you obey, either of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? So Paul says, whoever you serve, that becomes your master. So you have to choose. It's one or the other. Verse 17, but thanks be to Elohim, that although you were once the slaves or the servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching, the teaching of the Messiah, to which you were handed over. So at one point, Paul is saying we were servants of sin, the evil one. But now, we break off from that master, and we now start serving a new boss, a new master, a new employer, Yahshua, the Messiah. Right? Yes. Verse 18. Since you were set free from sin, you became servants to righteousness. I am speaking in human terms. So Paul is saying, I'm using human terms to explain what I'm trying to say. Right? You could serve this one, you could serve that one. Right? If you decide not to serve this one anymore, you break all ties with that one, and you now become faithful to this one. So he's speaking in terms that we could understand. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members, your body parts, yourself, as servants to uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to lawlessness, so now present your members as servants to righteousness, leading to holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free as to righteousness. Right? When we were disobeying Yahweh, we had no righteousness in us. What then was the fruit that you used to produce at that time? Things of which you are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death. However, now that you were set free from sin and became servants to Elohim, you are producing your fruit in the way of holiness. And the end is everlasting life. And Paul says now, you serve, and according to who you serve, you will receive a certain wage. He says now, the wages or the reward of sin, if you serve sin, the reward you're going to receive from that is death. But the free gift, Elohim, from Elohim, is everlasting life by Messiah Yahshua, our Master. So the adversary, the evil one, will offer the world. He offered Eve knowledge of unknown knowledge, secret knowledge. Right? He said Elohim knows that if you eat of the fruit, you will get knowledge that you didn't have before. He offered her that. But what he was really offering her is that eat of the fruit, you will die. That is what Yahweh told them. Yahweh expected them to obey. And if they did that, they would receive life. So who are we going to serve, brethren? Are we servants of righteousness? Or are we servants of sin, leading to death? Or righteousness leading to life? We have to choose. Choose who we will serve. No man could serve two masters, one or the other. 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. First Corinthians 7, verse 20. First Corinthians 7 and verse 20. Brethren, this is a very serious lesson. I hope that we internalize it. I hope that we hear it, that we take it in, because it is very important to us. Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 7. In whatever state each one was called, let him remain in it. Were you called being a slave or a servant? Do not let it concern you. But if you can become free, then seize the opportunity. Okay? You say, were you called being a servant? Remember, from the days of Israel, there were servants. They would buy servants. And in the seventh year, a servant could go out for free. He could become free. Or he could choose to remain a slave or a servant, right? So Paul is saying, if you can become free, well then, take the opportunity. For anyone who was called in the Master when a slave, he is free in the Messiah. You might be a slave to man, but you're free in the Messiah. Likewise, anyone who was called when he is free from a human boss, you are now a servant of the Messiah. And then he says, verse 23, you were bought with a price. We don't understand. Sometimes we forget that, brethren. Why is Paul saying we are servants of the Messiah? We are slaves of the Messiah. Because Yahshua paid a price for us. Just like a human boss would what? He would pay a price for the slave. And you now become his property, his belongings, and you have to serve him. Right? So Yahshua says, Paul is saying, Yahshua paid a price for us through his blood. So we are his now. He says, you were bought with a price. Stop being servants of men. In whatever state each one was called, let him remain in it before Elohim. So we have to see ourselves as being servants or slaves to Yahweh. We are his servants now because he paid the price. He bought us, basically. He bought us over from the adversary who was controlling us before. Right? We have to see it from that perspective. We all know the story of Abraham sending his servant to get a wife for his son Isaac, right? Genesis 24, verse 1. We won't go there. I'll just give you all the passage and we can read it in our private time. Right? We're speaking about Rebekah, who became the wife of Isaac. Genesis 24. Right? Starting from verse 1, we can read it when we get time. But in that story, we see how Abraham was seeking a good wife for his son Isaac. And when he sent his servant out, he sent him out and he said, look, so and so and so. Right? And if it don't go that way, well then you'll be free from this vow. When the servant went, he was by the well, asked the young woman for some water, gave him water. She said, I'll bring water for the sheep and everything else too. Now she didn't know him, but you see that she had a heart to serve. You see? Apparently that is how she was brought up, to be kind to strangers. And so she had a heart to serve. Also, and that is how the servant knew, yes, this is the woman that Yahweh has chosen for my master's son, for Isaac. Genesis 18, we wouldn't go there, but take a note of it. Read it when we get some time. In Genesis 18, we have the story of Abraham. And Abraham is sitting at his tent door in the heat of the day. We know the story, right? And then three men come along who we find out are not men, but actually spirit beings. And Abraham's reaction when he sees these men is to run to them, greet them, and say, come, come, come. Place hot. Only come and take a little shelter from the heat and eat something, drink something, rest all your feet. And he run and he tell his wife, you know, prepare so and so and so and so. And they give them food and they wash their feet and whatnot, whatnot. Abraham was a master. Abraham wasn't a servant, no? Abraham was a master, right? He had servants under him. But yet, you see, the attitude of Abraham was like a servant. The message again, brethren, is be a willing servant. Be a willing servant. We cannot just want to be served, right? We cannot just want others to serve us. We have to be willing to serve. Right? This is the example that Joshua gave. Joshua was in the highest position that anybody could ever hope to be in, right next to the Father, the Creator of all things. And as Paul said, he didn't let that go to his head, as the adversary did, Satan did. He was very high too. And he felt, well, since I'm this high, well, like perhaps I could be a little higher. Or perhaps even greater than the Father himself. See? Joshua saw it differently. Joshua saw it as, this is my Father, and I must faithfully serve him. Remember we say, being a servant is also an act of worship, an act of obedience, right? An act of giving. To serve means that we must give something. We must give our efforts, our energy to someone else. Brethren, I don't want to mince words in this message. I want to speak very straightforward because I know for a fact that we could improve in this area. Right? I want to speak to each and every heart today very directly. We know the areas in our lives that we are stumbling in, that we are falling short in where this subject is concerned. Whether it is between a husband and wife, whether it is among family members, whether it is whatever. We know within ourselves the areas where we are allowing stubbornness, pride, ego to hinder us from fulfilling this. Being a humble, willing servant. We don't want to serve in some regards. We have too much pride. We hold back. We resist. And I am saying, if this is the attitude that we have, we are not following the example of Yahshua the Messiah. We are following someone else. See? So, again, as we look to bring this message to a close, what does it mean to be a servant? In today's society, being called a servant is a reason to feel ashamed. A servant? A waiter? You know, in a restaurant, they call them a waiter or a waitress. You're waiting on somebody, right? And actually, that is one of the definitions to it. To wait on somebody, a servant. You waiting for somebody to tell you something. For them to tell you what they want. And you have to bring it for them. Remember we said, whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. But whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Right? If we cannot learn to serve, if we cannot humble ourselves to serve others, Yahweh will not give to us the honor of being rulers. We have to humble ourselves. We have to learn to serve. We have to learn to serve. Remember what we read, right? For those who came in after, look at what Yahshua showed his disciples on the night of the Passover. I am the one sitting amongst you as the master and the teacher, and you are correct. That is what I am. But look at what I'm doing. I am the one taking the towel. I am the one putting the water in the basin and washing your feet. You should be doing that to me. But I'm trying to teach you a lesson. None of y'all are greater than each other, right? And even if one should be more respected, let him be like the servant. That is what Yahshua taught. Right? So are we going to follow that? Or are we going to say, well, I have too much pride. I'm not going so far. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing this. No, brethren. If that is the attitude we have, then we have to check ourselves. So, brethren, I want to appeal to our hearts. Let us allow the scriptures to speak to us. Let us allow the word of Yahweh to convict us. We have to be servants. Right? There was a prophet of Yahweh. His name was Obadiah. Right? One of the prophets in the Bible. His name means servant of Yah. Right? Obadiah means Obad from Ebed. It means servant of Yah. Are we Obadiahs then? Are we Obadiahs or servants of Yah? Remember, the definition of serve is to work, to serve. Right? To be obedient to a higher authority. Right? Remember we said that an employer and an employee relationship is the same as a master-servant. We just don't use the terms today. We don't say master and servant today. We say employer-employee. Right? If we are servants or employer, working for a human employer, we serve that person, we work for that person, not because we're getting a salary. Yeah, well, that is the main motivation, of course. But not just because of that. we understand that we have to work. So we really serve in a higher authority. And we don't do things to please that person, we please in the higher authority. When we strive to please the higher authority, the human authority will see it. And we will get honor and respect from them as well. Right? So, when the bosses are wrong, we work hard. And from the time the boss gone, we find out, well, the boss going off-site. He ain't coming back for the next hour or 2 hours. We find a corner and we start to sleep. Or we start to slow down. No. Work as unto Yahweh. Right? Don't follow the bad example of those around. Remember who you are. And remember who is looking at you. Not the human boss. The heavenly boss is watching. At all times. And we have to bear these things in mind. So brethren, I hope that this message of being a willing servant touches our hearts. And that we examine ourselves to see if we are fulfilling this in every aspect of our life. Find opportunities to serve the brethren. It doesn't only have to be money. You know, today, in today's society, people feel that the only way you could give somebody something is by giving them money. You never give me anything. Somebody would say, you never give me anything. So I never give you money. So that means I never give you anything. You understand? So I didn't show you love. I didn't give you encouragement. We could give in other ways. We could serve in other ways, in many ways. All right? And before we close, just to recap the message that we had looked at during the Feast of Tabernacles about discovering your talent. Right? That is one of the ways that we could serve. When we discover what we're good at, what we could do that could be of use to the brethren, then let us do it. So if our talent is simply drawing, we can't do nothing else. But we could draw. Talented when it comes to art. Well, you know what you could do? You could take the scriptures and you could make the scriptures come alive through art. You could draw nice pictures. Right? Take quotes from the scripture and put it in a nice, you know, in a nice way and present it and say, brethren, look. And we'll put it up because it's looking beautiful. And the brethren get inspired. You don't have to be an elder or a deacon to be of use or to serve in some way. Right? Every member of the body has a purpose and was created to serve or to function for the greater good. No matter how small that function is. Right? So, some people would say, well, what is the sense of the eyebrows? Why we need the eyebrows? That they serve no purpose? What we need that for? Well, take away the eyebrows, and I don't think we look all that nice. We look strange. We want to run in the other direction. It's for beauty. It's to add completeness to the body. So, everything have a function, no matter how small it is. No matter how small it is, everything has a function. And that is how we must see ourselves in the body. Right? No matter how small it is, you mightn't be the most intelligent person. You can't rattle off scriptures. Right? You can't quote scriptures off the top of your head. You mightn't be able to read properly. So does that mean you have no purpose? No, of course not. Of course not. Everybody has a purpose within the body. And we must accept that, brethren. So let us serve. And let us be a willing servant. Nobody should have to push us to do something. We must pay attention. We must see and observe. There's something that needs to be done. Don't watch to see who else is going to do it. You in the person, go and do it. Right? So you see somebody need help crossing the road? you draw back and you're watching. Well, let me see if somebody else will help them, and then I will go. No. You take note of it. You go and help. Don't wait for the next person to do it. Right? So I hope that we understand this and we apply it, brethren. And may Yahweh bless us as we do this. Okay, so...